Twice a month, the Mat-Su School Board meets to discuss any and everything that affects local schools.
I call this regular meeting of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District to order.
This is In Summary with Emily Forsman.
I'm Emily Forstner with the In Summary broadcast for the Mat-Su School Board meeting on Wednesday, September 21st. Sometimes, in the life of a school board, the real news you need to know can be found not on the top of front page, but tucked away perhaps on page 5, or inside the corner box of the back page. Wednesday's meeting was case in point. The school board on Wednesday night provided yet another above-the-fold headline with a full house and KTUU cameras. BP 6117 School Moment of Silence Personal Meditation passed 5-1 with Jeff Taylor absent and Dwight Probasco the lone dissent. The new board policy commits teachers in all grades to hold no less than 1 minute, but no more than 2 minutes, of silent reflection daily. The policy goes on to commit teachers to encourage families to discuss with their children how best to use the moment of silence, but does not allow teachers to any way influence the moment of silence during their class. During his disagreement, member Dwight Probasco moved to add a third sentence to the policy.
The school board also finds that they would be well served if the board and public were afforded a moment of silence at the beginning of each school board meeting. Not to a minimum of 1 minute and a maximum of 2. If it's good for our children and our staff, then we should be modeling it at the school board level.
Board President Ryan Ponder agreed, and Mr. Probasco's amendment requiring the school board meetings from now on to begin with a 1 minute moment of silence also passed, this time unanimously. That is just the front page, though. And lots of times, that's where we end. But imagine for a moment picking up that newspaper and turning the page. What else happened? Wouldn't you like to know? Look at page 5. Right-hand column stuff about new businesses and such, with a picture. The headline? Family and Community Stands Out for District. Laura Richardson presented to the board about her position as Family and Community Partnership Coordinator. This is the first time the district has designated a position for community outreach.
I get to communicate directly about instructional matters that link directly to the teaching and the learning, the magic that teachers are making happen in our classroom every single day.
This position was created by repurposing other jobs not filled at district office. One of Mrs. Richardson's tasks is to publish the monthly parent post, and this will be emailed out to all parents and available online. She will also work aside the Department of Instruction to effectively engage the community more in things such as the curriculum process. In an example of this work, Mrs. Richardson described a firsthand account of observing PLC Mondays. PLC Mondays create a late start for all students on Monday mornings. It affords teachers a prescribed time and place to collaborate and become more deliberate with student learning. Part of Mrs. Richardson's job is to observe PLCs at work. Member Jubilee Underwood asked just how the district could measure the success of PLCs so as to make it worth that late start for families. Mrs. Richardson explained that while there would be hard data on the number of failing grades, graduation rates, and test scores, the professional growth of teachers is harder to quantify.
Can my colleagues and I share common assessments? Do we talk about student data side by side? Here's a writing sample from my accelerated language arts class. Here's a writing sample from your accelerated language arts class. How do those essays compare? So those things are a little bit harder to measure in a way that we can show you in a graph.
Keep reading. Because next to the story about the family and community coordinator, look to your left, and you'll see the headline, District Points to Evidence, 4 Years of Math Needed. Superintendent Dr. Randy Traney presented to the school board evidence that MATSU students are behind nationally in math. In the nation, 85% of students complete Algebra 2 or higher. In the MATSU, only 19% do. In part, Dr. Traney said, because MATSU students need only 3 credits of math to graduate instead of 4. He continued to share the paradox that students lag behind not because the district offers too few math courses, but instead because they offer too many. Dr. Traney said that by offering 22 different courses to access algebra, geometry, or calculus,
you can see the point. Like, this is part of our structural deficit that we've created for very good reasons, because it's not that there aren't a very small percentage of the population of sixth graders who need math skills, but we have huge percentages of our kids not on the normal track.
He gave the example of eighth grade, where MATSU is almost average in the nation with the number of students taking Algebra 1, but the number decreases until by the time students should be taking pre-calculus, only 226 MATSU students do. Which is why.
We're still working on coming to the board with a new request to change our math requirement.
In the left-hand corner of the paper called North Valley News, you might find this headline: School Board Challenges Sioux Valley's School Calendar. Last year, the school board approved a revised school calendar for Sioux Valley. It included early release on Fridays to share teacher prep time. This calendar allowed the school to offer 17% more courses and lower class sizes by the same amount. This year, the school asked the board to approve the same calendar to include full release of students on one Friday a month. This full release would be used to implement PLCs, because Sioux Valley currently does not use the late start Mondays for their professional learning communities. After listening to one parent concern on time lost learning, member Tom Berge asked for more information regarding community involvement. Associate Superintendent Reese Everett said that there had been community feedback on the early release for teacher prep time, but he was not sure about community feedback on PLC.
For the item before the board right now, in regard to the PLC team time proposal, I'd have to follow up on the community feedback or the stakeholder input on that aspect of it.
Keep reading. Flip to the top of page 6, because the more you read, the more you know. The headline: School Board Denies Charter School a Counselor. Twindley Bridge Charter School asked for a certified new hire approval for immediate family member placement under Board Policy 4015. Ultimately, the request failed in a tie vote.
That would be a tie, and therefore ties fail.
The board policy references a hiring of family members, where one family member would be under the supervision of another family member. In the case of Twindley Bridge, if hired, the part-time counselor, part-time teacher, would also be the wife of Principal John Wheatman. In order to justify hiring a family member, the school would need to prove there were no other options. Currently, there are 27 unfilled certified counselor positions in the state.
The district's current application pool does not include any other candidates other than Mrs. Wheatman that currently possesses an Alaskan Type C counselor and Type T teaching certificate that is necessary for this position.
4 members of the audience spoke in favor of the hire. It was noted that the 7-member APC board for Twindley Bridge unanimously supported the candidate's hire. Leading the charge against the hire was member Ollie Larson.
Last time this situation came up with a charter school, same kind of conflict of interest, almost exactly the same. Different jobs, but same kind of conflict of interest with a family member, I voted no. And I will vote no on this one also.
Member Jim Hart said the position sounded fishy to him.
And on top of that, we want you to have this. And on top of that, by the way, we want you to do this. And by the way, to where it narrows it down to where only one person qualifies and there are no other applicants. And on top of that, this is a spouse of the principal. So it looks and smells awfully, to Member Larson's point, it's off.
Mr. Hart went on to say, ethics was 94% appearance. Member Probasco, though, reminded Mr. Larson that they both had relatives who work in the school district. As members of the board, they too had to sign conflict of interest statements with the state.
And we receive, have to get permission from the State of Alaska Commissioner of Education. And why would not, if it's good for us, why would we not allow that to happen in our district?
Don't put that paper down yet. Turn near the op-ed page and read all about it. School Board challenges borough to a duel. A battle of the wills between a school board member and the borough kept Mat-Su Central caught in the middle. The non-action item to discuss a memorandum from the borough manager on funding the new school's construction was unexpectedly tabled until September 28th. That will be a work session. Member Ole Larson invited the borough assembly to attend in what could only be described as a duel for a school.
More than one of them said, we need to discuss this further. Well, this memorandum from the borough manager is not a discussion, so I would like to invite the borough assembly also to discuss this and come to this meeting so we can do the discussion that the borough assembly said we have to do.
Mat-Su Central is the largest school in the district that celebrated its 50th anniversary in May. The school offers a blended approach for families, with both on-campus coursework and off-campus. It is home to over 2,000 homeschool students. School Principal Stacy McIntosh addressed the board.
Tonight I'm here to continue to advocate for a permanent home for our 2,200 students, as well as to address some misinformation about this need. Mat-Su Central has been leasing our facility for over 30 years, and our lease is expiring in less than 2 years' time. We need to act now to ensure that our students still have a school to attend.
Six members of the public testified in support of building a new Mat-Su Central as soon as possible. Member Ole Larson isn't angry about building a new school. He's angry with the borough. Early in the year, the borough assembly had agreed to place a $24 million bond package for the school on the November ballot. This would include an all-purpose gym. Then in August, the borough made a deal with the district to share the costs of building the new school using ESSER funds from the district and bond reimbursement monies from the borough. This agreement set a new precedent since it has the district paying over $18 million, including furnishing the new building that will ultimately be owned by the borough. Ole Larson is infuriated. He referenced his frustration during the legislative priority report and then again during the non-action agenda.
I had a big speech on this, but if you want to look at this book, it says the school district does not build schools.
Look at the end of this article, because it goes, to be continued. It's after you read the funnies. Look at the back page, at the bottom, right before you put that paper in the recycle bin. It would have been easy for anyone to miss. School board proposes new course requirement in logic. With just 9 minutes left in the meeting, member Jim Hart brought forward a resolution to require the district to create a new logic course. The course would be written by teachers with the help of university professors. This course should be no less than 2 semesters worth, one being for a freshman and the other semester for juniors.
So the best BS filter there is logic.
During the rushed presentation, Mr. Hart admitted he was not a philosophy student and struggled to read the terms of logic. These terms had been listed for him by unnamed college professors. They would be taught in the new course.
Fallacies of diversion, ad hominem, poisoning the well, to quote, the genetic fallacy, vericonandium. I can't believe they expected me to pronounce these.
Member Dwight Probasco argued that there was no time left to discuss in depth this resolution or what it meant for students.
We read a resolution. There's going to be no opportunity for the board to discuss it, and then it's going to become an action item, and then it could become reality.
So thank you, Member Probasco. Any other comments?
President Ponder asked Mr. Probasco if he wanted to make a motion to extend the meeting. A similar motion had failed moments earlier. Mr. Probasco shook his head.
We have 3 minutes left. I have nothing to say. I mean, there's nothing I can say in 3 minutes about adding a course on and getting questions answered in 3 minutes.
President Ponder motioned to adjourn, and Member Hart seconded.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
The resolution goes forward to a vote on October 5th. The front page was about a moment of silence, but it was anything but quiet at the board meeting on Wednesday. A commitment to better relations with the community and apparent post-publication. Math data points to not more math courses, but more math required in the end. Deny and delay. Deny Twinley Bridge, the counselor teacher, of their choice. Delay Matt Sioux Central a timely decision for funding a new building. Delay Sioux Valley a revised calendar. And beware of red herrings and straw men. Tune in on October 5th for the next regular school board meeting live-streamed right here on Big Cabbage Radio, followed with the in-summary report on October 7th. Until then, read all the way to the end and stay well out there.
This has been In Summary with Emily Forstner. The Matsu School Board meets twice a month, and streams of the full meetings are available on RadioFreePalmer.org. This piece is a production of Big Cabbage Radio. Questions about the program can be directed to manager@RadioFreePalmer.org.